Jesus. Well, tonight we have just such a privilege of having an old friend, but that sounds like, you know, someone that you knew once upon a time, but a friend that we've known for a very long time who's lived all over the place, lived in India, lived in California. I don't know which is worse. Probably California these days. And it's just a real servant-hearted individual, someone who has served our family, not just me personally, but our church family. And I don't know, maybe people thought it was going to start snowing at 10 o'clock. I don't know what they thought, but it's not supposed to start in the middle of the night. But I wish there's more folks here tonight to be able to receive what you've got to bring. But I just know there's a word in Jared's heart. There always is. And it's just an amazing privilege to have folks that you've known for more than just a few months, but to have long-standing friendships. The older I get, the more I realize the value of those. You just can't go and buy another one. It took 10 years to build it. You've got something that's 10 years of value, and the longer you've known people and had those relationships, the more valuable they are. And so I just appreciate his willingness to just be asked on Monday night, hey, would you mind just sharing on our United service? Whatever the Lord shares through him is fine by me. He's a man of the Spirit. I remember when, I think it was the first or second Sunday, that we called him the Twin Towers. Chris and Jared came in and walked through, and it was like, wow, where did these guys come from? And but I remember that, I think it was that first Sunday when someone prayed over them, and they received the baptism, a freshening of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And ever since that day, I've just watched that Holy Spirit lead Jared, lead him to an amazing wife. I don't know if he's going to brag on you, but amazing wife with an amazing family, with an amazing legacy, connection to Pastor Vaughn, and just so much of the spiritual heritage, just to see that all kind of come together to a, you know, with a guy from Kansas, kind of seems a little, we forgive him for that over the years. We've learned how to get beyond that. But no, we love Kansas, Kansas City, you know, we love Chiefs. And but I just hope that you'll open your heart, and I hope that we have some recording happening tonight so we can capture, since a lot of folks aren't here tonight. But I just know that God wants to say something special tonight. It's already been a very special evening. I don't know how else to say it than special. And dig deeper. Look beyond what's in front of you. There's always more. And I'm more and more excited about this realm that we live in called the realm of the Spirit. So let us, without further, I feel like I can breathe again. The whole time I was like, just feeling my chest was like compressed. Thank you, Jesus. Feels good. But let's welcome our brother Jared as he comes and just shares the word tonight.
You got me, Dan? Thank you. Oh, down here. I'm not that cool yet. I'm not as short as Josh, so I get a stand at an even level here. I like to walk around and pace, so it's better for me. I trip all over this stuff. I just want to thank you guys for having us. My wife and I, Charlene, I really do want her to come up real fast. I feel like the Lord wants to say something to you or introduce her to you, but this is, well, through you. But this is my wife, Charlene Dorsch.
I almost corrected you.
She almost corrected me.
I said Parisi.
Yeah. I first want to thank you, Josh and Elaine, and for the house to have us back home. It's like being home. I feel like home. Even though some of you I'm not sure I know yet, this is family to me. This is where, like Josh said, probably about 10 years ago, we walked through the doors, and Chris and I did together. We served years and years together in the Navy, and just got on fire for Jesus, man. Been running 100 miles an hour towards him since, and it's never going to stop. I had a fire in my heart that burns so hot, I can't do anything. No. And so I'm going to let her say something before I get rolling.
I walked in and saw Gianna on the drums, and I was like, I'm not her taller twin, less talented. Yeah. I'm Angela and Yvette's daughter. I grew up on the mission field, for those of you that don't know me, which I don't think a lot of you do. But, Josh and Elaine, always, the moment that I met you guys, felt like I was going to say big brother and sister, but you're more than that. So I really appreciate you taking this mess of a man and just really taking him under your wing and preparing him for me. No, I'm just kidding.
She's really not. She's really not.
I told him not to bring me up here because I didn't really want to share what God was put on my heart because I didn't really spend time preparing for it. But I couldn't get away from Romans, if you don't mind, thanks. Romans 1. I spent 3 years teaching ladies to backtrack, coming out of recovery from drug, alcohol, just really, really tragic stories and God restoring them. And so I spent 3 years teaching them the word of God, and I always tell them that I don't take myself very seriously, but I take Jesus very seriously. So please bear with my stupid jokes. But Romans 1:20, I've always loved that scripture because it talks about how since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are not made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I always like that scripture because it says in the very beginning that because of creation, we all have an opportunity to see God and his love for you and for me. Coming back to New York after living in California for 5 years and just pouring our hearts out to the men and women out there from all over the place, it was hard for me to go back to my home to help come along my parents and help them just straighten a few things out. And with that straightening out, it was more of like not just straightening out physical things and moving boxes here and there, but it was actually straightening out and stirring up and tilling some emotional things and some stresses. And as you read on to chapter 20, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and nor were thankful. That just stopped me in my tracks today as I was reading that. And for those of you that are maybe like me or maybe better than me that might not realize that they've gotten in the grind of things or the tilling of things and forgot who they were created by, what you were created for, and got trapped in this emotional place, trapped in your work, and forgot, as Romans points out, the Godhead. Because it goes on to say that you are without an excuse, and I am without an excuse, not to forget to glorify him and be thankful every day for what he has done, and not to be wrapped up in our emotions, because digging and toiling can get us trapped. So don't be trapped. Always be thankful and rejoice with those.
Amen. I got this thing. I'll go with this thing. She told me not to call her up unless Jesus spoke to me, which he did. He said, call her up. So I was just being obedient. So there you go for Jesus on the fly and honor my wife. So I'm here tonight not to tell you about Los Angeles or our trips or anything like that. I may mention it as we speak, but I'm really honestly here to talk to you tonight. The Lord just put on my heart about the Holy Spirit and fire. And Josh actually, I mean, you should have just preached because you got most of it, but I was reminded today how important it is and how quickly we forget who we are. The reality of who we are, what we do, what we stand for, how we walk, right? And I've taken it to a personal truth in my heart, especially when we lived in California, We lived on a men's discipleship floor. My wife had 100 male roommates that were all addicts, prisoners, or former ex-prisoners, some of them facing life sentences. And that's where we ministered, as well as at the church and on the streets. And I realized that you can't walk in the flesh and do anything good for God. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you're kind of just going through the motions of what we call life. Right? So I was praying about it, and he kept taking me to Romans, and it was wild. We met with Alice and for a minute earlier this week. Alice was Vaughn's daughter, and we were down there, and she mentioned she had watched some old Ruth Heflin. And so this week, Angela pulls it up, and I'm like, I knew God told me to go to Romans, and he plays this Ruth Heflin thing, and she reads immediately out of Romans. So I'm not reading the same scriptures, but I love the Word of God, so you're going to have to bear with me a minute. I'm going to read fast because I don't want to take up too much of your time and try to get you home before the snow. Josh said 10 o'clock, so I got like 3 hours. You're good. No, for real, if I get going, you may have to tell me to stop. But I just want to start in Romans 8. And I think it's important, even though I feel like I'm amongst people who know the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit even, I just kind of really feel that this is his word right now for this house and for what he wants to do with everyone who's here. So I'm just going to read, and we're going to get into this thing. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That's called a good day. If you're free from the law of sin and death, I call that a good day. Because it means even when I make mistakes in my knucklehead ways, the grace of God sets me free. I don't do those things intentfully, and we'll get into that. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, I'm going to stop right there real quick. 2 points, condemnation and walking and living according to the flesh. Okay, so a little bit about my life. I guess I will share with you about my life. When we lived in California, we worked at this place called the Dream Center. Matthew Barnett, his daddy Tommy Barnett, and him started it as a men's pastor at the church there. My wife became the assistant controller. Did I get that right? For the CFO at the Dream Center. And I worked out in town, though. I worked at a data center as operational manager. I was a nuclear mechanic in the Navy with Chris. I do engineering stuff. That's how my brain works. That's my function in life in the natural. Was my function in life in the natural until I just quit my job. But what I want to say about that is 2 things. One, when I'd fail at work, condemnation would always try and creep in. You can't avoid it. The reason is because condemnation, I was doing a study on this a while back, condemnation literally means punishment. And your sin actually does deserve punishment. That's why condemnation, the feeling of condemnation, comes to your flesh. It's a legitimate feeling, actually. But what it's not legitimate is freedom. It's contrary to God's law for your life. Your law in God is freedom. It's life. It's liberty, right? And condemnation will try and steal that away. And it will steal that away in any form it can. And then it'll try and distract you with the world around you so you don't pay attention to the realm Josh was talking about, which is the spiritual realm. The realm we're meant to walk in, function, and operate in. Did you know that your identity is hidden with Christ in heavenly places? You're already in the Spirit. You can reach the throne room. It says, "Come into my throne room of grace with boldness." Why? So you can let him know your request, so you can talk to him, so you can let him know what's going on, good day, bad day, any day. And the world will try and come and take and steal you away. But if you choose to walk in the flesh, it'll steal you away in a heartbeat. I watched it. Done it. Been there. Done that. I don't like to do it, and I don't intend to do it. But I understand Paul. Why do I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do? Why? Because this thing that we're born into, this sin nature that we're born into, will always steal us away from the love of God. It'll steal us away. It'll get into your mind. Renew your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. That's not to be taken lightly. Right? I don't know. If there's someone in here has been really just going back and forth on how much time you're spending on the Word, stop thinking about the time and just do it. And just spend that time in His presence. Like worship. I was about to fall over. I'm glad Josh spoke for a minute. I would have been no good to you for a minute there. I'm going to continue on. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a dangerous statement. Every time that I'm in my flesh, and I know it, you know when you're in the flesh. If you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, you know when you're in your flesh. And every time I do it, I do not please the Father. That's a real reality. And this isn't you got to perform perfect. I told you condemnation was dead. But this is, a check in the Spirit right now. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's a comical statement to my mind. You got to think like I think to understand why that's funny to me. But it says he'll bring life to your mortal bodies. I thought I was already alive. That's how we think in the natural. We get going to work. We think we're alive in the natural. I'm driving my car to work. I have food that I'm taking to work. I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to get a paycheck. I'm going to go home. And I'm doing it in the natural. And we think that we get stolen away from the fact that that's not even real life. This is what Josh was talking about. You want to know what real life is? Die to yourself. Give up everything that you desire. I'm not saying you got to do what my wife and I did. I just left my job. My wife left her job where God said go, like he did when we were here. And we went. Went to Los Angeles. God said go in Los Angeles. And he's sending us overseas and we're going to go to the mission field full time. I quit my job. We sold everything we had, pretty much. We got some clothes, some books. I may or may not have snuck in an original 1990 Nintendo. But that's about it. And I'm saying that not because we're the best example or a great example even. I'm saying it because everything in the natural made sense for us to say. A year ago, I had gotten a promotion to operations manager at a data center. I got a 46% pay raise. I went from making $35 an hour to $110,000 a year with a 10% bonus and stock options. In 1 year, I did nothing. I didn't even apply for it. They just gave it to me. I was the only one. And everyone in my job knew who I was, knew what I was about. I preached the gospel at work. And nothing changed. In fact, when my wife and I left California, I got a call from a guy at work. Now, this came at an amazing time. This was the last night I taught class. I taught Bible class 4 hours a week, did counseling one-on-one with guys in the program 2 hours a week for the last 3 years. I preached a lot of gospel. And you know what? I'll never stop. Why? Because the joy of the Lord became my strength. But what happened on the last night before we left California, we became known as a couple that baptized people in the Holy Spirit. Real talk. This isn't me. This is a real story. It was funny to me because people at church be like, hey, I heard you baptized people in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, yeah. I had a Starbucks parking lot. Didn't matter. I baptized one guy in a Starbucks parking lot. Real story. And he's like, really? We'll do this now? I'm like, well, what are you waiting for? Honestly, what are you waiting for? So he's like, okay, and we go stand by my scooter. I did live in California. I drove a scooter. It's weird to see a 6'4" man on a 125cc scooter that's orange. But he's standing right there by the scooter, and in and out, this is one of the biggest, busiest Starbucks. It's a Starbucks Reserve or something. It's one of the, it's California. So here we are in the middle of Starbucks, and people are just walking by, and he just starts praying in the Spirit. And I'm telling you this because I intentfully had to be intentful every day in and out of my life to to maintain myself walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. We want to react. Ask my wife how hard it is for me sometimes. We've never fought. That's a lie. But the reality is, it's hard sometimes to have all this stuff, to have things in front of you, and then to walk away from it all because God's saying go left when you want to go right. Who do you serve, though? It's funny. My wife told me to wear this shirt. This shirt says obedience, right? I had this shirt made. This was our men's retreat. This last year is obedience because of that scripture where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do as I command you. I don't take that lightly either. I don't know. I was raised in this house. I don't feel they take the word of God lightly. Like it's more of a suggestion than a mere, you know, somebody passing by. Then God himself speaking right to us through his word, which was his son. He was in the beginning with him, right? I get all excited. I love the Holy Spirit. Where was I? I'm going somewhere with this, trust me. Yeah. So 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Which means you, if you put to death. Do you notice that? And do you also notice in like 12 scriptures, he reminded us of the exact same thing like 5 times already? Probably shouldn't take it lightly. Said, put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. For as many of are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now that's a great day. I'd like to be a son of God. I know I'm one of his children. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now this is what I love. If his spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know that's two different people, right? I know I'm talking amongst smart people. I know this house. But this is what God gave me. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. It's not that the Spirit's the strength for you. It's through his Spirit that your spirit gets strengthened. This is where I'm going tonight, because I feel like when we came 2 weeks ago, when we got to New York, I feel like God's ready to explode again in this place. I really do. I feel his fire. I feel his joy. And it's something different. It's not the one that I felt when I came here the first time. This is different. This is a new fire and a new joy. It's King's fire. So if we can't get crazy for Jesus, I don't know where you can. I mean, we used to walk around, dance around. It got crazy sometimes. Chairs got pushed back because so many people came to the altar to receive prayer. It's one of the greatest times of my life. And you know what's funny? It's never changed. It may look different. But I know the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in me lives in them. And they're the head of the house. And what I get excited about is that the joy of the Lord is his strength, which means it's my strength. See, if we begin to choose to walk in the Spirit, the things of the flesh start to go away. Condemnation, who cares? What are you condemned by? Your flesh, ooh, it's going to die. Has no power. He can't condemn the fact that you got saved because the work isn't done. If it is only about your salvation, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you would have gone home to be with him. But yet you're still here. If that's the choice you've made. So there's work to be done. There's a life to live, and it can be lived with power and with joy and with hope and with honor and praise and worship. When we sit in his presence, I get so excited when Josh was talking and we were sitting in his presence. I was wasted. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, Don Mapes. Because the Holy Ghost party, I remember, this is a true story. I remember a time that we had a meeting in Barbarossa. And some of you, I think, may have been there. And Chris and I were still pretty new to the house. I was definitely new to the house. And I grew up in a different way. I grew up in a not Holy Spirit-filled church. So when I walked in here and got baptized in the Holy Spirit right away, things changed real quick. Right? That's the glory of getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't, by the time my wife and I here leave tonight or this week or next week or by the time we leave New York, I'm going to get my hands on you and you go crazy for Jesus. Don't worry about it. So what I do. So I become, not because I'm great. It's because he's great in me. And that's the one thing that condemnation will always try and steal for any. Who's stuck in condemnation? I don't know who it is. But that's the one thing that he will steal away from me is who you are. I created you as a mistake, lie from the pit of hell. You weren't a mistake. Your parents may have made mistakes while raising you, but you weren't a mistake. Are any parent perfect? Heck no. But I do know this. I know that when we choose to walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if instead of the moments when I want to yell at my wife, I encourage my wife or I pray for my wife, things change. Like that. When we begin to walk in the Spirit and walk in hope and walk in love and walk in joy and walk in peace, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When I walked in here 2 weeks ago, I felt like joy had a cap on it. I did. I'm being honest. And I don't think it's because you're doing something wrong. I felt joy had a cap on it because it was a bigger jar than you've ever filled in your life. And I feel he's ready to rip it off. I feel like he's ready to explode it off. I'm being very honest. This is not easy for me to say. It's hard to listen to the Spirit and speak honestly. But I feel like it's capped. And I feel like God's just saying, whenever you guys are ready, rip the lid off. Because he's ready. He's waiting. And it only seems weird because it's bigger than it ever has been. It's not because there's more people. It's because the time draws near. It's because if we don't walk in the Spirit, we'll be loaded down with the flesh and we can't even see what God's trying to do right in front of our eyes. I remember living and working with these guys that were in addictions and recoveries. These guys were heroin addicts. One of these guys was facing 2 life sentences. They sentenced him to live with us. And I remember the hope that just didn't exist. It was gone. There was no hope. There was no life. And all it took was a dog and 2 young people to move into their lives and just never stop loving him in Christ Jesus. Never stop choosing to walk in the Spirit. Never stop choosing to even at work be preaching the Word of God. Why? Because that's what's in you. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. I don't have to think of something really smart to say to you or to someone walking down the street. Just ask the Holy Spirit. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You have a conversation. That's why baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important. I've been sold on this since I gave my life to Christ. And once I started preaching the gospel and teaching it every day, you could not convince me that baptism in the Holy Spirit and praying in a new tongue isn't of God. And this is why I'm going to say this. Because how is it then in Jude he says, but you yourselves building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. It's one sentence. So you build your own faith by praying in the Spirit. Now how does that manifest in the flesh? I asked God about this because I got asked insane questions. When I taught these guys for 3 years, I ran it like a small group mixed with a class. I didn't use a whiteboard. They had a structured reading every week. But when they came in and their questions about over here, you know what? These guys are just getting to know who God is. I don't care if they're reading Leviticus chapter 18 when they don't know who they are in Christ. That's why I ran it like a home group mixed with a class. But I'll tell you this much. Why would God give you more faith than me? He teaches a portion, but this is what I'm saying. Why would he give you the ability to build yours and not mine? And so I asked them that question. And they all kind of looked at me and I was like, okay. I said, why do you think praying in the Spirit is important? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I said, because it builds your faith. We just read it. And they're like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense to me. And then I asked God while they're asking me these questions. This is the most humbling experience of my entire life. You want to get humbled in Christ. You'll sit around 120 addicts for 3 years of your life. hours and days of your life and have them ask you questions. You got to be willing to say, I don't know, sometimes. But you also got to be willing to let the Spirit of God speak through you. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. Guys, if I can hear in the Spirit the language, my heavenly language to the Father, the language of tongues, and I've heard it preached a million different ways, and I don't know why I'll probably end on this. But that's not, yeah, I looked it up. In fact, I wrote it down. Notes do me a lot of good. You see how many times I look at them? It means glossa in Greek. It says tongue of a certain affinity by implication of language. By implication, which means not really. By implication, which means they don't understand it. So they're implying that it's a language because they don't understand in the natural. I'm going somewhere. And then after it says by implication, I language. If anyone understands English language, when you put a parenthesis after something, it's to modify or give extra explanation to that thing, right? And in it, it says specially, so it says by implication of language, specially one naturally unacquired, which means that you can't acquire tongues in the natural. It's a spiritual gift given to spiritual people that have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, usually through the laying on hands, but it doesn't always take that. I know people that just started praying in the Spirit. They woke up one day. I remember once Chris and I were in India, and there's this girl who went with every week. She just, the whole week, she went everywhere we went. Just like she served the house, you know, the pastor and his wife, but she just, and she was on the front row. She had her notes out. She had her Bible. I mean, she's, and it's all through translation. I don't speak Hindi or Ori or Telugu or any of those. I know, like, I don't even know if I know two words anymore. But she followed us everywhere we go. And I remember Chris was like, hey, come over here. We were praying for people at the end. And I don't even remember laying hands on this girl. By the time we even got near her, her hand shot up in the air like this. And she just started praying in the Spirit. It was the most beautiful thing in the world. And after she came out, I knew she was about to hit the deck. So I walked her to a seat like a gentleman would. But then she almost got up and I said, no, you stay there and let God minister to you. Now, I'm not that old in the Spirit at that time. I really wasn't. Probably 3 and a half, maybe, in the Spirit, honestly. Now, I'm not that smart. But what happened while God ministered to her was at the end of it all, she came up to me and Chris and she gave us a hug. Now, I'm not talking a hug like, oh, it's nice to see you hug that we give people sometimes. I'm talking the hug that you are family hug. And she said, I saw it. She said, I see that you're actually my brothers. Now, this is why I want to end this way. Now I know. Thank you, Lord. Always got to listen. It's because your family has nothing to do with what you look like, what you smell like, how you dress, the color of your skin, your political affiliation, even what church you go to some degree, to be quite honest. But you're never going to see it in the natural. And I feel like what God's saying to this house right now, and I thank God for the beauty of the church that sees nothing different than the Spirit of God, but I think some of you need reminded of who you are. And the reason is because now you can love everybody because the joy inexpressible is through the Spirit. It's only through His Spirit. Joy, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Those are the first three. I'm not even going to list the rest. That's the first three. Love, joy, peace. So my joy comes through the Spirit, to my spirit. It all comes through His Spirit to our spirit. Not because we're great, because He first loved us. That's what Jesus did. Condemnation can't affect you because you're not bound by the flesh anymore, so you can walk in the Spirit and you're no longer condemned by life. You're no longer condemned by someone who's going to take a hold of you. You can go into your workplace. You can go into the place of business out in the street. You can go down the street, and every time God says go left, you can go left and say, here's what God would say to you today. And you don't have to worry. What are they going to do? Judge your flesh? It's dead. Judge away. My care for the opinion of man when I came in those doors 10 years ago-ish, whatever, 9, 10 years ago, was up here. I could care less anymore. I do not care one lick. I'd prefer that you like me. But it is not a requirement to my salvation. And when that switched in my head, I realized this walking in the Spirit thing is just not that hard. We make it so complicated. We think that we have to perform or do something right or say something right or pray the right prayer. You can pray the right prayer if you tried. But I know one prayer that you can pray that'll never run dry, and that's the prayer in the Spirit. I think part of the reason we're here is to help you rip off the lid. I actually think that. I just hear that. I think by the time we leave, in whatever, however many more weeks it is, I think this thing's going to get ripped wide open. I feel that there's a hunger for newness of the fire of God. I'm talking as fire. Look, guys, this is not an easy, when Josh asked me Monday, could you do Wednesday? I'm like, sure. And then after I text him, I'm like, uh-huh, that's the home. That's the place you got reborn again. That's everyone you know possibly judging everything you say. I don't care. If he looked at me even cross, even though he may never give me a microphone again, I'm okay with that because I know what I did, and what I did was give you what God said to you. This isn't the voice of me. It's my voice, but it's his word. And I just feel that in this place and in this time, it's time for people that have gotten complacent to rise up in the Spirit. And it's that place when we get together in the Spirit and we pray in the Spirit and we sing in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit and we encourage in the Spirit. And then we can stand up and the joy of God comes and our feet get excited and our legs get cramped because we danced so long. I remember that. Dude, dancing with some of these guys at the church, you would be shocked. Guys, 2 weeks old in the Lord, just got saved, off meth. Dancing for Jesus, Christians in the church, 20 years, can't move a foot. It drove me nuts. It drives me crazy now. I get it. I remember so many of the stories of Vaughn and Josh and Pastor Don and even Rich Caliendo and Tony and all these guys, the pastoral staff and that poured into us. I remember Gary Whitaker used to drive by. I'd be like halfway down the block. And he'd be like, why are you suffering condemnation right now? I'm like, who told you that? It's the Spirit of God. Do you not think that he doesn't want to talk to you and commune with you and love on you? And I know I'm preaching to the choir in some part, but there's some part of you guys, some of you, that it's gotten almost suppressed. Not that you don't believe, not that you don't have it in you, but because life has gotten in the way. The 100,000 job and the dollars and the cars and the clothes or whatever got in the way. Distraction. You know what? I'm glad God called us to the mission field. I have no more distractions in my life. I sold it all, really. I got a car I got to figure out what to do with. We're praying about that. Ooh. I've given away a few already. Why not another one? I don't know. We'll talk. But the whole point is what I'm saying is God wants you to rise up in the Spirit. Get that fire back in you. For some of you, it's like it's on. But you remember, I grew up in Kansas, all right? Josh joked about it, so I get to tell a story about it. And maybe I will wrap it up. See, I told you, don't give me 5 hours. He said I got 7 hours. I don't know. When I was in Kansas, I don't know if any of you know anything about the Midwest or thistles, also known as tumbleweeds, right? These things, when they're dry and they're tumbling, they light on fire and they're gone in 5 seconds, right? And I feel like in this place and in this house and this Sunday when we came to church, I felt the coals piping hot. But the only thing that's left to let it blaze again, and not again in an old way. I'm talking bigger, brighter, and better. It's for that joy. You know what it was like for a kid when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old? And my grandfather would be like, hey, go get the cows. Now, my sister and I called thistles cows because they had millions of them in their house. Well, around their house. They get caught in the trees. And we'd go out and we'd pick them up and they'd be stuck between chairs and we'd pick them up and we'd carry these things load after load until we had a stack as high as we could throw these things. And they're pretty light so they don't go high, right? But my grandfather, all it took was one match at the bottom. And he lit it. And that thing went from zero to hero that quick. It went from the place of what could be just hot to the place that was on fire. I'm talking like blazing. This place is King's Fire. It needs to burn down. One, because we got a new building to build, but two, it needs to burn down for the glory of God in a new way. And I feel, honestly, I just hear God saying that all I want to do is I want to go get some cows, as we call them. I want to go get some tumbleweeds, and I want to bring them over to the already hot coals, and I just want to place them down and see what happens. Because I promise you what's going to happen is when that ignites in your spirit, I'm not talking about in your natural mind, when you get a hold of that in your spirit, that he's ready to do that in this place, you got to watch out. You got to watch out for your own life and everyone else's, because you're going to go around and you're never going to stop. I got caught on fire 10 years ago and I will never stop. If anything, the closer I get to him, the more fire rages in me. The fire to prophesy, the fire to lay hands on the sick. In fact, somebody, if anyone has arthritis in the right hand, specifically the right knuckle, before I leave here, I want to pray for you. I don't have arthritis in my hands, but the last 3 days, the Lord spoke to me because I had felt like arthritis in my hand. But this is what happens. See what happens? You send me away normal, I come back crazy. But the reality is this. This is, I'll bring this to a close. I don't ever want to. I just want to stay in his presence. I don't know about you. I'm sweating like crazy up here. It's cold to me. I'm from California, man. My blood thinned out. I'm hot. And it's not me. It's his spirit. It's his glory. I just feel it like a blanket on me right now. I feel like I'm wearing a coat and I'm about to take off my jacket. Why? Because his presence, his spirit, and walking in it is the only thing that matters in life. If the world convinces you there's anything greater than that, forget it. Forget it. Ain't got no job? Who cares? God's got you. Keep applying. Ain't got no money? Who cares? God's got you. He said, I'll take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Clothe them better than that. How much more you? And I just feel tonight is what God wants to start. And I just see, as I close my eyes, honestly, I just see children coming with thistles. Children are just coming with thistles. All you got to do is let them go. I just hear the Lord saying that thistle doesn't represent adding to the fire, but that the thistle represents you and your flesh. And when you're ready to throw yourself into the fire, his glory will blaze like you've never seen before. Oh, I see hundreds. Josh, I see thousands. And I see millions on the hillside, but those thousands go to those millions. And I just keep seeing the flesh has got to go. I just keep seeing that. I mean, they're young children. Like the little girls running around tonight, the Ray kids and the Politi little girls. And I just see them coming with a joyful heart, just smiling, ready to just throw it in the fire. But I don't see them from a natural viewpoint. I just see them in the spirit. They look like haze to me. So colorful. So vibrant with fire in their eyes and hope in their heart and joy on their lips. And I see him carrying these thistles to this fire, and I see him letting go freely with no hesitation. I just see him letting go and letting go and letting go, one after another after another after another after another. Lord would say unto thee, this is my house, that of which I have built with the coals of my glory. And yea, you cannot see yet, but soon you will see the thousands and the thousands. And out of this house I will birth more. And my fire will spread. So that when I come to claim my bride, my glory is seen upon the whole earth. Bring the children to the fire. Bring the children to the fire and let go of thyself. Let the fire burn away all the discontent, all the condemnation, all the pain, all the loss, all the suffering, all the, well, God didn't do this. Well, yes, He did. And let it go. And breathe them in. Would everyone stand with me tonight? And raise your hands to heaven. And just open up your spirit. Let His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that He is here. He's here. There's no question in my heart. I can feel His presence. And He wants to saturate you again. And He wants to light a fire in you again. And He wants to raise you again. Stretch out the knees. Get ready to run, thus saith the Lord. Running to my glory. Running for my joy. And Father, I just pray your spirit of fire anew in Jesus' name. That it falls on everybody in every place. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God.